Dish from Waitrose is an SE Creative Studio production.
You could say Charlie Bigham knows his onions.
I do.
He also knows his mushrooms, parsley, aubergines and the other 94 fresh ingredients delivered to the kitchens every single day.
Shall I tell you about them all?
Maybe another time. You see, Charlie Bigham's only cooked with the freshest ingredients and would never add anything else. Instead, his are cooked like you cook at home and leave on the same day. The same day?
Yep, the same day.
Charlie Bigham's.
Handmade in my kitchen, cooked in yours.
Just so you know, our podcast might contain the occasional mild swear word or adult theme. Hello, I'm Nick Grimshaw.
And I'm Angela Hartnett.
Michelin star chef. Angela, not me.
Welcome to Dish from Waitrose, the most hospitable podcast around.
We have invited some famous faces round for a meal and a chat, so come on in and join us. Hi, Angela.
Hello, Nicholas. How are we? We're very well.
We're in sync today. How was your weekend?
Good, nice and busy. Little Bessie wasn't well, so we've... phantom pregnancy she keeps having.
What and what? So Betty thinks she's pregnant?
She's pregnant and her body then thinks she is.
But she's not.
No, she's not.
But well, I wish our dogs could have babies.
We could.
Then we'd be related.
Can you imagine? Taking the kids out.
We've got Stinky's girlfriend coming over. She's pregnant.
Betty's on a play date.
Betty.
Are you hungry today?
I'm starving. What is on the menu? What are we having?
So we've got these lovely spicy cauliflower florets, which I'm going to serve with this lovely tangy mayonnaise with lime, lemon in there, lovely bit of coriander. Then as our main, we've got these pork steaks. So lovely pork steaks I'm going to slice up. And then in here, I've got chopped peanuts, a little bit of soya sauce in there, chili, garlic, a little bit of honey. And then we've got a really simple slaw, which is cabbage, spring onion, carrot, diced up, and I've got some sesame seeds in there, a little bit of sesame oil, and that's it. And then I'm going to put a tiny bit of lemon at the end, a little bit of zingy zest, and that will all be served with our pork there, which is sitting there.
Angela, where can I find this recipe?
Waitrose.com.
So our guest today, he says a terrifying ego and astonishing lack of self-esteem got him into comedy. he's a comedian, he's a podcaster, he's a judge on the Great British Menu, so he might take the food more seriously than a regular guest.
Yes.
Mr. Ed Gamper.
Woo!
Hi, Ed.
Look at this.
Easy peasy lemon squeezy, I love it.
Thanks for coming to see us.
Well, thanks for having me. I always deserve a round of applause before a meal.
You do?
Yeah.
Whenever you want one, you can get one.
Thank you.
Do you want another one?
Yeah.
Ed Gamper!
So good.
Thank you.
Right, let's have a sit down here. Right, we can sit on and have a cocktail. On. We're going to have a gin cocktail. It's called a ginger fizz. So there's some gin in there, some ginger, some fresh lime, and a little bit of bitters.
Amazing.
You've really sold that, Ed. Amazing.
It is.
I like it because it just tastes like gin.
Yeah, but it's pretty ginny.
I like it because it's sharp and bitter. I don't like sweet cocktails.
I love bitters.
We're quite a sour table around here.
We are quite sour.
Sugar. We always like bitter.
Yeah, we are quite a sour table.
Yeah,
but you go through a lot of bitters in your house.
Yeah.
What do you have bitters in?
In gin and tonics.
Oh, right.
Yeah, my wife is unbelievable with them. Like, she'll just properly just like empty the whole, the whole bottle in there. Yeah.
She like a really strong, like,
really
you know.
Really strong.
Oh, lovely. And Bloody Marys, do you like?
I like Bloody Marys a lot as well, because I like to feel like I'm drinking a soup.
Boozy soup.
Yeah.
So I know you're a big fan of cauliflower.
Yeah.
I've done this spicy roasted cauliflower with a zingy coriander mayo.
Love it.
So coriander's not my herb of choice, as I think I've mentioned. Anyway, can I serve you some?
Please.
Get involved.
So Nick doesn't even serve.
Well, I'll serve. Should I serve?
Feels.
But I love watching Angela do everything. Like, I always think she's got look, chefy touch. Look at that. So chefy.
Do you like some?
Yeah, go on,
you. Watch that white shirt. Don't want to get anything on that, do we, now, Nick?
Thanks, Angela.
It'd be awful if you flicked something onto it.
Yes, if I flicked something
onto
it.
Yeah, that's all right. That's enough.
All available on Waitrose, so it's all easy and to do.
All ready to go. Right, Ed, so much to talk about.
Yes.
We have to talk about your tour. We have to talk about your podcast.
Please.
But first of all, we want to get to the big thing first. Your cat's called Pig.
Yes.
But why Pig? Because my dog's called Pig.
Really?
Yeah.
Because I think it's really funny to call animals by other animals' names.
What, so you call a dog Donkey or something?
Yeah, that's a great name for a dog.
Why not?
Okay, interesting.
And Pig is the funniest name.
My dog's called Pig, and I don't know if it's just because it's my dog.
Yeah.
But Pig, I think, suits a dog. But for a cat, even matter.
Like a cat called Pig is mad.
Also, he's like beautiful as well. Right. Yeah. He's like this beautiful white cat with stunning blue eyes. So to call him Pig is so insulting.
So mean. Have you ever had to, have they been out in the garden and been, Pig, Pig?
No, we keep him locked in the house. He's too stunning. He'll be stolen straight away. Yeah, yeah. We lock him in the house.
I feel sorry for cats that don't go out.
I tell him it's awful out there.
Yeah. You tell him it's awful. Pig, you really don't want to be going outside.
You're like a very overprotective father.
Obviously. Yeah.
I guess next we should speak about your podcast, Off Menu.
Yes. Yeah.
Which is a wonderful podcast. Angela's been on it. I've not been on it, but that's fine. Well, not yet.
Wait your turn, Nick.
Obviously, you talk about food on it, but you don't actually eat food on it. Which is, we're going to eat some food today. Yeah. How do you find doing a podcast and talking about food for a bit of time in detail and not actually getting it in there?
It's inhumane torture.
It is.
Describe it as. We really backed ourselves into a corner. Like the first few were recorded, we were like, well, I'm starving now. So every single time we talk about food with someone, normally we then have to immediately go out and find some version of that thing.
Do you often go out for dinner with the guest?
No.
Never done that. No. They certainly didn't do it with me.
No.
Like, if he'd said yes to that, that would have been really insulting.
Yeah, every week.
Every week. Oh, thanks for that. I brought you gifts because I was very nervous about that. So I was bribing with sweet stuff.
That's
late.
Rare.
Really?
So I think that's probably happened on maybe 5 or 6 occasions.
Seriously? Yeah.
And there's been 100 and some.
180 we've recorded.
And a lot of like foodie people and chefs on there. Miserable lot.
What did you take?
Little biscuits and madeleines. Basically, you're allowed a dessert and you're not allowed cheese. Mm-hmm. Well, we like the cheese, but old James
kicks off.
Jimmy boy kicks off. So I was bribing him with the fact I wanted the slipper cheese course in. And then I said, there you go, and have some sugar. Have a bit of sugar over there. He's
like
happy.
I say, you thought it through more than most people.
Very, very careful.
Is it expected everywhere you go, though, people think that you're going to bring some food? Because I remember on the radio once, Nigella came in, and we all got dead excited that Nigella was going to come in. And we spoke about it on the radio for a few days before, like, what do you think she's going to do? And she heard it and messaged in and said, don't worry, guys, I will bring breakfast. So no one ate anything. And we got up at like 5 and she came in about 8:30. So you're like starving by then. And she brought in granola.
What?
I was like, that's not enough.
That's unbelievable.
Like in a little bag like that. She's like,
don't worry. It's her saying don't worry as well.
We were like,
I got you covered.
I got you covered. No bowls, no milk, no spoons. Do you cook a lot at home?
When I can, when I'm in, which is rare, but yeah, I love a bit of cooking at home. I barbecue mainly, to be honest.
Is that manly sort of, barbecue, big steaks, or you just
I don't think it's manly when I do it.
What's your choice of barbecue? Are you a green egg? Are you a...
I've got a Kamado Joe, which is the green egg challenger.
Is it?
Oh.
Yeah.
I prefer it because you can multi-level grill.
Well,
do you know your stuff?
You really know your stuff.
I did a lot of research. I compared the two.
I'm at that stage of my life where I am currently this week actually doing barbecue research, like getting like comparison websites up, and I'm like, wow, I'm such an adult now.
Because you want to have a barbecue in your back garden.
I do want a barbecue, yeah. And you barbecue a lot. Didn't you do a lot in lockdown? Weren't you doing it like
4 or 5 nights a week, I'd say. I thought I was having the time of my life. Mm-hmm. I was like, this is, I think, the best time of my life ever. Mm. And then after lockdown, my wife let me know she really thought I was having a breakdown.
Really?
Because every night I was out there just lit by the coals.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know, I was thinking, I feel like a cool American. You know, always have a little beer on the go.
But yeah.
Like, she sent me a picture of myself barbecuing one night. And I'd grown a moustache. I was staring into these coals. You could just see my face holding a beer. And I was wearing my pyjamas. And I was like, I've lost my mind. It's the saddest photo I've ever seen.
The only thing is with the barbecue, though, is that I always think it's going to be quicker and more fun than it actually is.
Yeah, it takes a while sometimes.
Yeah, I'd rather come to your house and have a barbecue than
fine.
You come to mine and have one.
Well, because I get up early, I get it up to heat. I did, during lockdown as well, I did a beef feather blade for 10 hours.
Mm. Ooh.
Like, smoked it for 10 hours. But I bought a meat thermometer that attaches by Bluetooth to your phone.
Stop.
So I had it in there and then realised I couldn't walk too far away.
It needs to
because
be
then it disconnects from the thing. So I just had to sit next to the barbecue for 10 hours.
So could have just
could get anything else done.
Brilliant. See, I think I could challenge you. So we were talking, we had Paul Feig on. I was telling Nick about how they deep fry turkeys for Thanksgiving. I feel that you could do that. I feel that would be a challenge for you.
I might be doing Christmas this year.
There you go.
I'm sure my mother and my mother-in-law would really respect welcome to my Christmas, where I deep fry a turkey. They'd turn around and go home.
Yeah, they'd love it.
I think we do need to try that on this podcast.
Yes.
What do you fry it in? Turkey's massive, isn't it?
Yeah, you get a massive sort of, you know, big tin drum, and then, you know, all the oil. Dip it in there.
So does it come out like a sort of like a big KFC?
Basically like a KFC. And really moist, you see. That's the thing. Nice and, you know, not too dry.
And it also sounds really dangerous.
Yes, it does.
So dangerous.
So wet dangerous.
Right, okay.
This is Jumbo.
This is really good.
Are you happy?
Yeah.
I'm going to get ready on mains as well.
That was delicious. Also, I really enjoyed the speed of that course. In, on. Yeah. Right, Angela, what have we got here? This looks good.
So we've got roasted pork with a peanut salsa and a lovely fresh cabbage slaw. Wow. And so we've got some chili in there, garlic, ginger, a little bit of honey, a little bit of soya sauce, all marinated.
I love this.
You could do this pork on your barbecue, Ed. So I imagine you're a marinade, lots of marinades.
You're a marinader?
I love a marinade.
Mm-hmm. Love a marinade.
Marinade it. I marinate everything. Marinade my cereal.
Really?
Yeah.
So how are you finding Great British Menu? You're loving it, no?
I love it.
Yeah?
Because I'm completely out of place. Just gobble it all down. I'm like a competition winner every episode.
I don't think you're out of place.
No,
you
I don't think you are.
And you love
food. Yeah, no, I do. I enjoy it. And
it's good to have a different opinion, I think. That's what makes it really exciting now.
Yeah.
Because everyone, you'll have your opinion and Tom will go, well, hold on, that's not cooked quite in your way. Oh, I love it. It's
and
brilliant.
Tom knows all about the technique, obviously, and he can describe how things have been made and how much work's gone into them. And then I can go, well, I don't like it.
Yeah, but I don't like it. But you know, you can be subjective, can't you, about it? And be like, don't like it. And does it make you cook differently at home doing that show?
It makes me cook less at home.
Right.
Because then I know.
Point?
Yeah. What's the point? On Friday, I get 8 meals in a row.
Just have that.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, I pick up little tips here and there, but they are amazing, the chefs on it are so good. Mm. The tips are, you know, impossible to replicate.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, but I find that when I do, because I do the bit at the beginning of the week and judge it and put people forward. And sometimes I walk around and I always think they must think I'm such a fake because I always go, how'd you do that then? They look at me as if to say, you're judging me and you're asking how to do that. And I said, all right, kiddo, I'm a lot older than you and I've been around a lot longer, so just tell me how you do that. You know.
They're like, you just put the butter on the bread. It's called toast. Yeah.
Why are you asking me? I'm the cameraman.
The wine that we're going to have today is an Alsace.
Alsace?
Alsace, as the French say, which is...
Do they really?
Yeah, they do. I've been to France, that's how they said it. Which is from Waitrose and has been paired with this meal today because it goes really great with that Asian flavours, with that sesame, nutty things, spicy food as well. So how did your love of food and drink come about, Ed? What do you remember, like, your first sort of foray into... Not just eating to survive.
Yeah.
But being like, wow...
I've never been the eating to survive guy.
Right.
Ever since I was a little kid, I was always a fat little boy, very interested in food, always rejected
did
the
your mum
kids'
cook?
Menu.
Was,
yeah, my mum's a great cook. And just never, like when you go out to restaurants as a little kid or you get taken somewhere and you get given the kids' menu, just throw that across the room.
No, you're like, give me the scallops. Yeah. You know?
Bring me poached salmon.
My first like few months of university, I spent my whole grant on meals out. My week was planned around what restaurants I was going to and what pubs I was going to rather than my lectures.
That's better than I did because I think I always loved food but only later on in life discovered good food.
Yeah, right.
So I always used to just eat a lot of rubbish really but loved it. But university was
Uni, someone's actually sent in a uni question.
Oh, have
for
they?
You,
oh, okay.
Which is good because uni, the stuff I ate was so bad.
Yeah.
Really?
So bad. I don't think I knew what was good and bad even when I was at uni. So I'd eat like a cooked breakfast in a can and be like, yeah.
Is that real?
I always think that was a treat. I'd be like, amazing.
What do you mean a cooked breakfast in a can?
An English breakfast in a can.
And you can buy that?
Yeah. Beans, bacon, eggs in a can.
I think it's the eggs that put me off the most.
It's minging.
Did you heat it or was it cold?
Yeah, I'd heat it up in a microwave and be like, yum.
A treat
so
though.
Bad, isn't it? Angela, Rachel Adkin would like to know what the one signature dish is that you would teach your teenager before they leave for uni.
Oh, I would say something like a sausage curry.
I was not expecting those words to come out.
Well, you're not, but you want something cheap.
Yeah.
You can get some really lovely sausage, like pork, you know, lovely spicy sausages, tomato-based sauce with loads of, like, tinned beans, like butter beans and stuff like that, loads of herbs in there.
Oh, yeah,
loads
that's
Loads of
nice.
Nut onions. Maybe I didn't sell it quite well
sausage,
with the old
I've never
sausage.
Heard anyone say sausage curry before.
Sausage curry.
It's like more sausage stew than curry, right. I would say, rather than curry, yeah. But I think that's a good one. No.
That's an easy one. Because you don't have any like stuff at uni either,
no,
do you? Like
don't,
utensils.
Yeah.
No. No, so like yeah, my first year I was living in halls and there was a kitchen there, but it wasn't really a kitchen. Yeah. It was like a toaster next to a sink.
Yeah.
I set the fire alarm off my first night making toast. I was like, I'm not cooking again.
Not doing that again. Not doing that at all again. That was it. Danger.
Sausage
is good because you don't, like you say, there's no prep needed.
Yeah.
Open loads of tins and it's fine. Maybe chop an onion. You had a good one. Chili, I think it's a good one.
Chili.
Yeah, but you need condiments. You know, you need all your little
you
spices.
You need all your little spices. Yeah. That, yeah.
Spag bowl.
Yeah, spag bowl's a good one, yeah. Or, you know, I was going to go puttanesca, but that sounds so middle class and ridiculous.
Depends which uni you're
If I'm in Exeter, I'll have puttanesca.
I don't know if that's a good one for a fresher to be sticking their head down the hall corridor.
Yeah.
Puttanesca, anybody? You're like, nah. Sausage curry, yes.
Yeah.
So you always love food, big part of your life. Yeah. And then what about at home? Are you the key cook at home?
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
My wife picked up on that very quickly
when we first got together.
She was like, because she is terrified by cooking. She is so worried about it going wrong. She's cooked for me maybe twice in our whole relationship.
Wow.
When I met her, I'd just graduated and she was at uni.
Yeah.
And this kitchen in her halls of residence was the most disgusting thing I've ever seen in my life. So it would really put you off cooking. There was one guy who never used to wash up anything, and he used to use his chopping board and always leave it out. And everyone else got so annoyed with him that she sellotaped his chopping board to the ceiling.
Good.
She thought, well, he can never find it. He can never leave it out dirty. Yeah. And then he just started chopping on the side with no chopping board.
Oh,
gross.
Disgusting.
It'll put you off for life, that sort of thing.
Yeah, that'll do it. But even your skills in the kitchen not tempting her out of, maybe you're too good for her to even bother.
No, driving her back into the sitting room.
Yeah, driving her back.
Yeah.
It's pushing her away. Because my boyfriend won't cook for me because he finds it stressful.
Yeah, but is that because you're always hovering around, sort of saying what he should be doing or should
be? Yeah, probably, yeah.
Yeah, it's not helping. Have you seasoned that? Have you done that?
I'm a bit like that. Yeah, I think that's what puts her off. I think she did try and do something the other day, and it was just for herself. And I was like, when I do that, I don't tend to do it.
I mean, that really isn't fair, honestly.
What about you and Neil ever like that?
Well, we had friends over at the weekend, and he came down, he asked me something. And I said something, he goes, and he just stood back like that. He goes, don't start, all right? Just don't start. And then afterwards, he was chatting away, and I was just tired, and we had loads of people coming, and we were a little bit late getting ready. And I said, Neil, I love you, but stop asking me stupid questions. I really don't want to talk, and let's just get this done.
Like, yes, chef, yes, chef. Oh, sorry, Angela.
And he looked at me, and he went, all right. And then afterwards, I had to go up, and I went, sorry. And then, you know, and then it was great. We had a great lunch. We had a great day. But sometimes he loves to chat.
What about on tour, Ed? Because you've done, what, 50 dates so far?
Yeah, 50 dates of the tour so far.
Wow.
Crikey. That's a lot, isn't it?
35 or 40 coming up.
And Edinburgh.
I loved Edinburgh. I had to do stand-up for like a Radio 1 challenge thing. Mm. It was the scariest, hardest thing I've ever done in my life.
Yeah, that's a bit of a trope. Every few years they'll do, like Radio 1 have done it, and I think Channel 4 did something where they, you know, train celebrities up who aren't comics to go and do stand-up. And it's always just, it was torture watching it.
Yeah.
Horrible.
They did one a couple of years ago where they got Curtis from Love Island to do it. Yeah. Now, there was a long-running joke that I look like Curtis from Love,
right?
Which was like the bane of my life, like on Twitter for like a year. And then I was like, fine, it's over. He's out of Love Island. He can go and do his thing. People have forgotten about it. And then they were like, oh, he's going to start to do stand-up. I was like, no, this is the worst thing that could happen to me. And then he did it, and he was the worst by far.
That's terrible.
I think he might have given up his comedy dreams now.
Yeah, hopefully.
How's like eating on the road? And I always want to know when people are on stage, when do they have their tea?
Sometimes, if we know we've got maybe, you know, a day off after it's the last little last show of a run, we'll go out after the show and have a curry.
Mm.
Yeah.
The best night was actually second night of the tour. We were in Birmingham Town Hall, and we booked a table at Dishoom, and I came out of the stage door at 9:30 and I was sat down in the room at 9:32.
Perfect. Amazing. Perfect.
I don't think I've ever felt better in my life.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
This is living.
That is living.
I had, adrenaline was pumping. I could see the audience still leaving the venue and I was just sat in the room.
Having your poppadoms.
Yeah.
Ordering that famous sausage curry.
I'm getting it today from him. It's on fire.
What do you do to prep for your tour?
Like, prep is a very strong word for what I
right.
do. I worked out a while ago that I can't have any sort of like hyping up or pumping up before a show because then I'm quite loud and energetic anyway.
Yeah.
So if I'm backstage going, come on, here we go, come on, show. I go out there and I go, hello everybody. So I just have to be as normal as possible before I go on. So I'll watch MasterChef.
Oh yeah,
quite
get
often.
You going.
Sometimes I'll just like hit pause and then just walk on.
Just
really?
Straight
yeah,
on.
Yeah, yeah.
And that just relaxes you?
Yeah. And then I'm just, you know, if I know the show and I'm ready to do the show, it's fine.
Do you have to remember everything you're saying on there? Or does it just come naturally as you're sort of telling the jokes?
It sort of becomes
I find that
muscle
amazing
memory.
That you can all remember.
It's mad, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's muscle memory by the end,
yeah.
I think. So, and also you just remember the good bits. I try and keep it quite fresh every night.
Yeah.
So if it wanders off in another direction, that's great. Because that makes it more exciting for me.
What's the tour all about, Ed?
It's all about me. I'm an absolute egomaniac.
Right, it has to be, innit?
Yeah.
Every year I sit down when I write a new show and I think it's going to be my big political show.
Mm.
Right.
And this one's mainly about buffet breakfasts. So absolutely mind blowing to hear about this breakfast in a can. I thought I'd done all the research into breakfast. So maybe I'll add that into the...
Yeah, get that in. Try it out. Okay. We have a confession, Ed.
Oh, no.
Well, it sounds bad, actually. We tried.
This is an intervention.
Yeah, no, this is not even being recorded. Yeah. No, we heard that you love garlic bread with Marmite and cheese.
I do.
Right? Which I have said before, I've never tried that. I think that's a lot going on in my mouth.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, that's a lot.
Yeah.
Love cheese, love Marmite, love garlic bread.
Mm.
Now, what we tried to do was something spectacular, which was to make you the Michelin level garlic bread with cheese and Marmite.
Oh. Yeah.
Constructed by HRH here, Angela Hartner. So Angela went to great lengths to make this happen.
Yeah, but failed miserably, didn't I? We have dough flying across London as we speak. It isn't quite here yet. But it will be.
You've ordered in your dough.
I've ordered in my dough. I'm not making it. Do me a favour. I mean, I like you, Ed, and I think your podcast is brilliant, and I cannot wait to see you in Edinburgh. But really, if you think I've got time to be making dough for people. Anyway, I have my dough being flown across from my friend Mark Wogan, who does Home Slice. Great. Yeah. And I was going to have a little secret ingredient, plus the Marmite, plus the mozzarella, just to check it out.
What do you think the secret ingredient is?
That really is ridiculous. How is he going to know what the secret ingredient could be? Anything in the world.
Ed Gamble is psychic.
I bet I had a little bit of duck bolognese that I was going to put underneath it, you see. Sorry, Ed, sorry. We can send you home with the ragu.
So then
you need to do is get that pizza.
Yeah.
And sort of, you know, do it.
Whack it on top.
Yeah.
You have a busy day today, and I love the idea of you walking around London with some duck ragu.
in your bag, yeah, exactly.
Just before I go,
okay.
Do you have any other tips, Angela?
I always say less is more in a barbecue. Just do 5 things brilliantly rather than 10 things badly.
Ah, no, I can't. The Gamble barbecues are legendary.
Are they? Like, massive. Well, we're coming over, so we'll see.
We'll see.
Yeah.
But also, the thing is, and that's why I'm rubbish at barbecues, so I'm impatient. You've got to get it really hot, haven't you?
Yes.
It's got to be absolutely. Yeah. And I'm like, I'm the one going, just put the bloody fish on. Come on, just get it on. And of course it sticks, which you should never do.
Yeah.
So it's got to be really hot and dry. Like meat and all your fish just dry, then it doesn't stick to
it.
Yeah.
Question, how do you dry a fish?
You just,
bit of
tea towel.
Well, it's a good point, because they don't want to be dried, do they?
They don't want to be dried.
They love being wet.
They like being wet in the water, but, you know. I haven't just fished it and just, you know,
just
I've just
put
it on there, taking it out of my fish tank.
No, that is a good tip, that, though.
Yeah, genuinely. It's got to be dry, because otherwise it's the water, you know, the wetness will make it stick.
But they take a while to get up to heat.
Yeah.
So you come over to barbecue to my house, we're drinking for 3 hours before any food comes out.
Okay.
And then you love the food.
Yeah, exactly, whatever it is.
Yeah.
I got a great picture of my dad last time he came over for a barbecue, and we just just stood on the lawn in the barbecue with two glasses of wine, like he's and he's doing a monologue from Gladiator.
I love it. There's obviously that expectation when they come to you, though. It's like you'll eat late and you'll be drunk by the time you eat, and it's perfect. Yeah.
That's what barbecue's all about. Yeah. Love that. Ed Gamble, thank you so much.
Thank you so much, everybody. All of the recipes and drinks can be found on the Waitrose website at waitrose.com/dish recipes.
Follow Dish from Waitrose wherever you get your podcasts, and why not leave us a review on Spotify or Apple Podcasts like Aileen did. Aileen's review was amazing. She said she was smiling and laughing so much whilst listening to her on a walk that flies got stuck in her teeth. Bit of an overshare, but thank you, Aileen. We can't all have a Michelin star chef in the kitchen, but you can get some Michelin star advice. Email your questions for Angela to dish@waitrose.co.uk.